This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. This week, Pastor Jeff offers a message titled, Fear Not. It was recorded on March 22, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
They're doing amazing things around the world, and we're thankful for them. Here's our ministries that we're also supporting our goal for this year, and we're going to trust God in the midst of the challenges. It's $45,000 to give over and above our tithe into ministries and missionaries all over the world. So here's how you can give today. Very easy. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your phone. And thank you for your faithful giving and being faithful to the Lord in that. So text New Song Louisville to 77977, and that'll give you the instructions and connect you with PushPay, or you can just go to PushPay on your computer, Google that, and pull it up and look for New Song Louisville, and you'll find our little logo, and you'll be able to give right there. So, Father, bless the giving today, and we just trust you. In the midst of this time, you're still our provider.
Yes.
Thank you for meeting the needs, not only of your church, but also of our missionaries and ministries all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Honey, tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going on while we're kind of apart from each other, but there are ways that we are discovering that we can be together, and
that's
that we
right.
can share, and that we can connect. So
yes.
they're really important, and I want you to pay attention to these this morning.
Yeah, you all are so important to us. And so everything we can do to try to connect with you, we're trying to do that. So we are going to have a daily devotion every day. Pastor Jeff does a daily devotion. Look in your Facebook page. It's always, he does it every morning. And it's important that we are able to connect with you in that way. And our Facebook group and page. So both of those things are important.
Yeah, we have both. So just pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Facebook group and a Facebook page. And we're trying to get that posted on both each day.
Right.
So, and that'll not only be a devotional thought out of our daily Bible reading mm-hmm. that we're doing together as a congregation. Man, can I just encourage you with the extra time? Shut off the TV.
Yeah.
Shut off the phone. Get into your daily Bible reading. If you fell behind, now's a great time to catch up.
Yeah.
But what a great way to connect together, reading the Bible together, worshiping the Lord together. You know, there's a way through the YouVersion where you can join our group there and you can make mm-hmm. comments each day. It's just awesome, or you can do it through the Facebook page. And then also, each week, we've asked our pastoral team to touch in with you.
Yeah, and that's exciting too, because not only do we do this through technology in this way, but also give you a phone call. It's really good to be able to hear your voices, to see what's going on, how we can pray for you, you know, just so we can connect. It's so important during this time.
That was a lot of fun yesterday. I made my calls yesterday, and so many folks were just like, oh, it's so great to hear from you. It was the same for me. It was so great to hear their voices, and what a cool way to connect. And we're just calling to find out if you have any needs, if
right.
you have any prayer requests. We'll deliver groceries. We'll do whatever we can to care
yes.
for you in this time. I hope you know that.
Yes, we're family. You're important to us.
And then tonight, we're going to do something. This will kind of be breaking the ice on something brand new. We've never done this before, but we're going to do our very first Zoom call New Song gathering.
Yay!
So tonight at 6 o'clock, you'll be getting an email today yep. with an invite code, or you can see right here on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Point to it, honey. This
right
HTTPS
yes.
dot or dash dash.
Take a
you
picture
can read
of it if you don't.
Yeah, take a picture if you need to.
Get a picture of this, because this is the link you're going to need to join the Zoom.
Yeah, or to be in the email. So
yes.
and you'll be able to, it'll be a hot link. You can actually just click on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll need to sign up, I think, for Zoom, but it's free. And
yeah.
it'll give us a chance, 100 different computers can join in tonight, and we're just going to share some prayer requests, get to see each other a little bit,
yeah.
encourage each other a little bit. I'll have a little bit of something Tracy and I will to bring, and
yeah.
and a couple of prayers I want to pray with us, and tonight at 6, so join
yeah.
us. And then on Wednesday nights, Jen Hansen is wanting to connect with you on Wednesday nights at 6:30
yes.
through Zoom
mm-hmm.
and have some prayer time and some encouraging things. It's not just for Freedom 2.0, folks. It's for everybody in the church.
Yes.
So Pay attention to that. That's exciting. And then this is really cool. We've been invited to join what's called Unite 714, taken from 2 Chronicles 7:14, that wonderful verse. Yes. And you can sign up at unite714.com. And it's a collaborative prayer place where we're praying together through this time. Mm-hmm. And there is a weekly prayer they post on there. It's amazing. I'll be sharing it tonight. So, hey, in the midst of the challenges, and I know this is a challenging season for many, my daughter yesterday, her workplace closed down, and, you know, it's just a challenging season on many, many fronts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you know, we've gone out, we've done a little bit of shopping here and there, but, you know, after several meals in home, and, you know, I'm not the best chef. I mean, sometimes it kind of feels this way, and I thought we'd laugh a little bit together this morning. Kind of feels like this, you know? Grocery shopping has become an episode of Chopped. Have you ever watched the show Chopped? You know, what can I make with a bruised apple, a can of deviled ham, breadcrumbs, chicken feet, and maple syrup?
Woo!
You ever felt that way? I mean, it's kind of getting that way. But we're going to make it through,
that's
folks.
That's exactly right.
We're going to make it through.
That's right.
By the way, I did hear this, and this was encouraging. Chuck Norris was exposed to the coronavirus.
Yes.
You know Chuck. And now the coronavirus is in quarantine.
Exactly right.
So that was good news to hear. This one wasn't such good news, explains some things.
It does.
It explains, because I've gone like several times looking for that elusive toilet paper.
Exactly.
Maybe you have too. So the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it's their fault. Seriously?
Yes.
They've taken
That's
all the toilet paper.
It.
My goodness.
Makes a lot of sense.
What's a person to do? Anyway, hope you're laughing with us, and I know this is serious times, and
yes.
I want to share a word with you this morning,
yes.
And I've simply entitled it, Fear Not, Fear Not. Thank you, honey, for joining me this morning. So if you'll maybe grab your Bibles or use your device, however you do that, Luke chapter 22. I want us to look, I always am drawn not just to the word, but also to the life of Jesus. Whenever there's a situation or a circumstance where I'm challenged, I want to see if I can how Jesus handled it. So I want us to do that this morning. I want us to learn from how Jesus dealt with fear. And maybe you've never even thought about that. Maybe it's never crossed your mind that there were episodes in Jesus' life and ministry where he had to deal with severe, intense, difficult fear. So I want us to learn this morning and hopefully change our thinking a little bit about fear, because for some of us, we're going to have to change our thinking to truly conquer fear. We all experience fear. It's part of the human emotion, the human experience. It's part of life on this fallen planet. And you've probably dealt with it some this week, just as I have. But let me just start with saying this, and this is really important. You know what the number one commandment in the Bible is? The most often repeated commandment in the Bible. Do not fear. Fear not. It's put either one of those two ways, and it shows up often. Someone said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every single day. It's the number one command. Why is that? Because I believe this. God didn't create us to live in fear. He has a different plan for us. God created us, I believe, to live in peace. When God created Adam and Eve and they were there in the Garden of Eden, it was a peaceful paradise. And I believe even in the midst of the storms, the challenges, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he wants us to live in and experience his peace. So let's look at the scripture together. Luke 22, verses 39 through 47. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Pay attention to that. As he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, a little social distancing going on there, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, pay attention to that, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, He found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." The really important word in this passage is the word agony. In verse 44, it describes Jesus as being in agony. A lot of us this past week have been in agony, I think. Not knowing, not understanding, uncertain. Just the volatility, the ambiguity, of the situation. None of us have ever lived through anything like this before. It just creates a sense of agony. Here's the word agony in Greek. It's agonia. And let me tell you what it means. Great fear or distress. So let me just put it again so you understand the context of it. And let me use those words. And Jesus being in great fear or distress, agonia, he prayed more earnestly. You see, I believe Jesus felt more fear in that moment than probably any human being has ever felt in the history of mankind. Remember that Luke, who's writing the book of Luke, was a physician. He's a doctor. And he even mentions that in this situation, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is wrestling with the imminent road to the cross and the suffering that he's going to undergo to pay the price for mankind's sins, and I'm so thankful he did, that he literally is under such immense stress and pressure that he experiences a medical condition called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. It literally means that your blood vessels are under so much pressure that they rupture into your sweat glands and you literally sweat blood. It's a true but rare condition. It's actually a physical condition. And I think the reason this is mentioned, I think the reason this happens is just for you and I to kind of capture just a glimpse of just how much stress, how much fear, how much pressure, how intense this situation is for Jesus. He's feeling more fear in that moment than you and I have probably ever felt in our lives. But he defeated it. He overcame it. It's interesting, really, when you think about the life of Jesus, there's many other times he could have felt fear, but he didn't. So the question then kind of becomes, why did he feel fear here? And I want to kind of try to answer that with three powerful considerations this morning. The first one is simply this. Jesus was identifying with us as human beings. He wants to identify with you. He understands your story. He understands what you're going through. Remember the incarnation. Jesus comes to this earth fully human and fully God at the same time. He experiences everything you and I experience on this globe as a human being, all the feelings, all the emotions. And yet at the same time, he remains fully God. And we've got to remember the incarnation and always choose to view Scripture through that lens. It helps us to see things and understand things. He felt fear because he was identifying with us as a fellow human being. You feel fear. I feel fear. And Jesus, our high priest, who can sympathize with our weakness because he was weak and felt fear also. He was born a real human being into a real family. We remember that whole scene from the beautiful Christmas story in a manger among smelly animals. He lived a real life. He experienced things just like you and I do. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Did you catch that? Jesus sympathizes with your weakness. He understands it. Listen to how it goes on. "But was in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin." Boy, that's hugely important, right? "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." This passage is for you. It's for me. It's an encouragement. It should lift our spirits even in the midst of challenging days like this. In all points, Jesus was tempted. He felt what we feel, including the fear, the grief, the excitement, the sadness, the worry, the anger. There's not an emotion you can name that he didn't feel. And he felt it fully. He experienced it. He understands the gamut of human emotion. I don't know about you, but one of the things that these challenging days have done for me is I've been grieving so many things. I'm grieving the loss of freedom. I'm grieving the things that were on the calendar that are now canceled or postponed. I'm grieving the events, the opportunities to see people, to be with people, to be here in this place with you. I'm grieving a lot of things. Jesus understands grief. He understands fear. He understands all of our weakness, yet without sin. And that's really key here. You can feel the emotion without entering into the sin. It's what you do with the emotion that matters. See, the emotions that you and I have and that we experience on a daily basis, they're given to us from God. And I'm very thankful that we are feeling people. Can you imagine with me, just even for a moment, what life would be like without emotion? I mean, it would be pretty dull, to say the least. But the key is, what do we do with our emotions? Do they dictate our words and our actions and our thoughts? If we're not watchful, those emotions can lead us into sin. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says this, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for God in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness." So let's ask the question here this morning. What was Jesus' temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane? By the way, I've been there in that Garden of Gethsemane. It was one of the most touching moments for me when I was in Israel. There literally are still there on that Mount of Olives, where Jesus will return, by the way. There literally still are olive trees that were there when he prayed in the garden. It's a really touching place to be. What was the temptation that the fear that was coming upon him was trying to bring? What was the temptation? Well, I'll tell you, I think it was this: to run, to abandon the call of God, to flee from his assignment, to not do the will of God. See, here's what I believe. Satan tries to put fear on us so that we will not do God's will. Fear is a really, really effective weapon of the enemy. And this is so important, and I want you to hear this so clearly this morning. Any fear-based decision will never be in compliance with God's will. Be careful. Be careful that fear doesn't overcome you, that fear doesn't lead you down a path that is the wrong path. We have a way, and we're going to look at it here this morning, to overcome those fears that we all experience. It was God's will for Jesus to go to the cross. It was God's plan for him to pay the price for mankind's sins. And yet, in those struggling moments in the garden, Jesus prays three times. He prays this: "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." There's a struggle, but there's surrender. There's a struggle, but there's surrender. And that's so important. This was difficult. But yet Jesus acted above his fears. He acted above his fears. And that's really important. He embraced God's will, not the temptation that was accompanying the fear. And that's really key. You see, I want to remind you this morning that your concept of God is huge. However you view God, however you see God, is going to absolutely determine the way you relate to and connect with God. And that's important to keep in mind. You cannot get closer to God than your concept of God will allow. That's why you and I must go to the Word of God. We must seek and see the heart of God if we're going to know His heart for us. He loves you. He cherishes you. He knows every hair on your head. His thoughts of you are more than the very grains of sand on the seashore. Can you imagine that? You've got to know His heart for you. He knows you inside and out, and He still loves you with an everlasting love. He is a loving, sweet, genuine, authentic, caring Father. And if you believe that, then you know what you will do when you're in a time of temptation, when you're in a struggle, when you're in a difficult spot like Jesus was there in the garden where you're wrestling. Let me tell you what you'll do. If you believe He's a sweet, generous Father, you know what you'll do? You'll run and jump in His lap. Just picture that with me this morning, would you? You'll run and jump in His lap. If you don't do that, you know what you'll try to do is you'll try to find solutions on your own. And those solutions never satisfy. Jump in His lap, kids. He's a loving Father. He cherishes you. He's there for you. He will help you in all of your struggles. When you feel tempted, when you're struggling, when fear's trying to overcome you, jump in His lap. Jump in His lap. I want you to have that picture in your mind today from this message. Jesus says to you today, I understand what you're going through. I understand this circumstance and situation. You may not. This is not anything that any of us have ever experienced before, but He understands. He doesn't have a single problem. He only has a plan to lead you, to guide you, to care for you. So let Him help you. Remember, by the way, Jesus is humble and gentle, and He sympathizes with our weakness. Number two, Jesus had the full knowledge of every single detail of everything He was about to endure when He was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew it all. He understood the pain that He was about to endure, the suffering, the incredible, horrible suffering He was about to walk through. And it was fearful, and it was challenging. Perhaps the death that Jesus endured, the torture, may have been some of the worst ever committed to any human being on the face of this earth ever. It was just sadistic and horrible, and yet He embraced it and He walked through it because He trusted the Father through it. What an example. Three times Jesus pleaded, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if there's any other way. But let me remind you, John 14:6 says this to us really powerfully. There's only one way. See, the whole idea of universalism, which has tried to seep into the church and to the thinking of many Americans that all roads lead to God, all, you know, whether you're Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim or Christian, that really it doesn't matter what you believe because all roads lead to God. Can I just tell you, that is absolutely not true. There's only one way. And Jesus paid the price for that way. And it was a heavy price to pay to carry your sin and my sin. And it was a horrible suffering that He went through to carry that burden, to pay that price, to assure your eternity in heaven. It was tough. But John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. There is no going without Him. I am the truth. There is no knowing without Him. And I am the life. There is no living, true living, abundant living without Him. No one comes to the Father except through me. Third thing I want us to pay attention to this morning is that Jesus was under a full-scale assault by Satan and that spirit of fear that he likes to bring. Remember when Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, when he was led out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, he fasted for 40 days. And at the end of this passage, there's an interesting little nugget of truth. It says the devil left him for a more opportune time. See, the devil came at an opportune time. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, and I don't know if any of you have ever actually fasted for 40 days, but that is an intense experience for sure, and it's one that'll weaken you physically, but, you know, spiritually, it'll strengthen you. But the enemy came because he thought, you know, he's in a weakened place physically, and I can tempt him, and he'll be open to my lies, and yet Jesus rose up, overcame those lies, overcame that temptation. But I'm telling you, the enemy always looks for an opportune time. And that's what's happening here in the garden. He's coming at an opportune time to try to overwhelm Jesus with a spirit of fear. Let me tell you this about the enemy, and there is a real enemy in this earth today. When you're in the most difficult situation, that's when the enemy comes the strongest. When you are feeling down or feeling beat up or feeling isolated or feeling afraid, let me just say to you, he's ruthless, he's cruel, he's harsh, and he's uncaring. And he'll come at you when you are down, and he will not let up or relent. Though a human being even might recognize somewhat at a moment of weakness and let up, the enemy doesn't. He just turns the screws all the tighter because he's looking for an opportune time to overwhelm you and overcome you. He loves to jump on somebody at their weakest point. It's what he tried to do after 40 days of fasting with Jesus, and it's what he's trying to do here in the Garden of Gethsemane to Jesus when Jesus is weak, when he's rehearsing what he's about to walk through and go through and the suffering that he's going to pay for the price of mankind. The enemy tries to come in and tempt him to abandon the road to the cross. Abandon the plan of God, but Jesus does not give in to the enemy's lies. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for that. So grateful for that. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. I love this scripture. I hope you do too, and I hope you're quoting it in these days. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, that's a good promise to grab onto. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Now, can I just mention to you this morning, and we talked about this a little bit last week, that there's a good fear and a bad fear. And let me just try to discern that a little bit for you, help you understand that just a little bit. There's a good fear, and a good fear is circumstantial. It's when you're driving down the highway, somebody swerves into your lane, and you react. That's a good fear because it saves you in that situation from pending danger. But there's a bad fear that's perpetual. And that means it just hangs over you like a dark cloud. It's just a foreboding. And it's just this thought, you know, that when's the next shoe going to drop? When's the next bad thing going to come? And that's that spirit of fear that I want you to rise up and take authority over today in Jesus' name. There's a good fear that's proactive. Yeah, it's proactive. It you know, if your child's running out into the traffic, that good fear causes you to move into that mode of grabbing that child, even risking your own self to protect them. It's proactive, but there's a bad fear that's paralyzing. That just gets you to sit down and give up and just paralyzes you, makes you freeze up and you can't do anything. You can't be what God's called you to be. You can't do what he's called you to do because of that fear. See, fear is expecting the enemy to move. Faith is expecting God to move. You and I, we get to choose. There's a good fear that's instructive. You and I, we learned early on as children, don't touch the hot stove because it instructed us. We might have learned from experience. We might have had a little bit of pain there. But there's a bad fear that causes confusion and that's just fatalistic. There's a good fear that's empowering. I heard about a story of two young ladies. Their father got pinned under a truck, and these two young ladies had this amazing surge of adrenaline because their hearts were so caring toward their dad, they literally were able to lift this truck so that the dad was freed That's a good fear right there. It's empowering. But a bad fear is enslaving. So I hope that just gives you an idea. Fear is both a natural response and it's a spirit, and you have to discern. In these days and times, yes, we need to take precautions. Yes, we need to do the right things. Yes, we need to obey government mandates, all these things. But we don't give in to a spirit of fear, because a spirit of fear will try to overtake you. So I hope that helps you to some degree to understand. You know, the devil doesn't control your thoughts, but he does try to influence your thoughts. He'll try to make you fearful. He'll try to make you make decisions based out of that fear. Don't let it happen. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." What a powerful scripture. Fear, that spirit of fear we've been talking about, can lead to bondage and ultimately to death. Do you know most fear is actually attached to death, if you think about it? Some people say, well, you know, I'm really afraid of snakes. No, you're afraid of getting bit by a snake, which might kill you. Well, I'm afraid of heights. No, you're afraid of falling from a high up height and dying. So those fears, they're tied to that. But here's the good news, right? And we need to never forget this, is that you're never going to die if you're a child of God. Yeah, there will come a time where you move into eternity, where you close your eyes on this earth, but open your eyes in eternity, in the presence of God, to live forevermore, to enjoy all that he's purchased for you through his blood and his sacrifice. But you're never going to die. In fact, Jesus says it like this, that death, where is your sting? That it has no victory over the believer. So God wants us to walk free from fear, because fear leads to bondage and death. Fear tries to make you mistrust God, mistrust your salvation, and mistrust your home in heaven. But Jesus paid the price, and heaven is your destiny, my destiny. You and I don't have any reason to fear. Now, it's interesting. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Listen, if I was living in this day and time and I didn't have a real relationship with God, I'd be really concerned. If you're listening today, watching today, and you haven't yet accepted the wonderful gift of God's love for you that was demonstrated through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I just implore you today. Today is the day of salvation. Call out to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and he will. And he will assure your home in heaven with him forever. See, God's people are people who should absolutely be known and recognized by the peace that they walk in. The world, not so much. This is a great time, I really believe, to minister from a spirit of peace. As much as we oftentimes talk about, you know, you can kind of sense the will of God, tell the presence of God by the peace that accompanies it. You can also, by the way, understand or know the presence of the enemy by the fear that's associated with it. Don't let fear overcome you. Jesus rules by peace because he is the Prince of Peace. He's full of peace, and he wants to fill you today with his peace. So let me close by just sharing with you a couple of things on how to overcome fear. Number one, admit your fear without shame. Without shame. Listen, shame is a really, really effective tool of the enemy. We all feel fear. We all deal with fear. But please don't be ashamed of it. Because the moment shame covers something, the moment the enemy puts shame on things, is the moment we often choose to hide them. We cover them up. We don't bring it into the light. God wants his kids to bring whatever you're feeling, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're walking through into the light. Because listen, once something gets brought into the light, into God's presence, his power can deal with it. And the power of that lie that you're embracing, that you're feeling, it just dissipates. And Jesus brings victory. You bring it to the light, it loses its power. I mean, it's just like a little child coming and saying, "Daddy, I'm afraid. I'm afraid." And you know what? Fear doesn't come from our Father in heaven. Fear comes from the enemy, and he wants to free us from it. Secondly, submit your fears to God. You'll notice that Jesus prayed three times, "Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done." To be a mature Christian, you have to act above your emotions. Not be managed by and dictated by your emotions. You have to learn to act above your emotions. You feel them. Yes, they're real. Yes, don't deny them. But don't let them dictate your actions. Don't act on them. Take it to God. Submit it to him. Be honest. Father, I'm feeling this emotion. I'm struggling with fear right now. I'm really getting concerned. I don't know if we'll have enough. I don't know how, if one of us gets sick, what we'll do. All those things are legitimate to be dealing with. But it doesn't have to dictate how you act and how you live moment by moment. Just because you're feeling an emotion doesn't mean it's right. Cry out to the Lord. Submit those fears to God. Ask him to help you. Yes, our emotions are real. They are real, but they're not always right. And they certainly, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by emotion. So the worst time to make a decision on your own is when you are feeling fear. You need outside counsel at those times. We're here for you. Please know. If you're feeling fear, feeling overcome by fear, if you're struggling with some important decisions, please press in. Let us be there for you. Let us walk with you and pray with you. The truth of the matter is, great people feel fear, but great people act above it. It's interesting, you know, the children of Israel, we even read some about this today in our daily Bible reading. 12 spies went into the land, the promised land, to spy it out. They all saw the 9-foot giants in the land. But Joshua and Caleb saw something more than the giants. They saw a God who was greater, a God who was bigger. And their belief in, trust in, and focus on God overcame the fear so that they were ready to act above the fear. They might have had those moments where they had to deal with some fear, but they didn't let that fear overtake them. They acted above it. They said, "We are able to go up with God's presence and take this land." Let me just tell you this. Wherever there's a promise, there's oftentimes going to be a giant trying to stand in the path of that promise. And what he's going to do, he's strategically positioned there by the enemy to steal that promise from you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Every good thing in this life has challenges that come along the way to try to steal, to try to get you off track, to try to get you to not trust God. Let me remind you this morning, God is with you. And if he's called you to it, he's going to see you through it. He's with you. He will walk with you through thick and thin, through good times and bad. Number three, and this is so important, focus on God's presence and love. Psalm 23, verse 4, God assures us he'll walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff will comfort us. And I want to read today from Psalm 16. Boy, this is a good one. I have set the Lord always before me. Have you done that in these days? Are you setting God before you? A lot of us have a lot more free time right now. Make sure you're carving out time to be in God's presence. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope, For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Listen to verse 11. Great promise. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what happens when we begin to really focus our hearts and our eyes, our minds, our thinking on the Lord instead of the circumstances and situation around us. See, on the way to the cross, the enemy was lying to Jesus constantly, but Jesus kept going. He had the Lord always before him. Fear is reality minus God. Faith is reality plus God. If you could see in the supernatural realm right now, if your eyes were open to see beyond just what we see here in the physical, you'd be amazed, you'd be encouraged, and you'd never fear again. I have set the Lord before me, therefore I will not be moved. And number four, face your fears by faith and watch them crumble. So we're going to close in prayer today. I'm going to ask Tracy to come back up with me. And I want to pray for you today as we close out our time together. So we love you. We're so thankful that you're a part of this body. And stay safe.
Yes.
Use wisdom. But don't fear, because the Lord is with you. Yeah. So let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, against a spirit of fear.
Yes.
We come against a spirit of fear today in Jesus' strong name. We command it to go.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask for your peace to come like wave upon wave upon our hearts, our souls, our spirits, to literally envelop us like a warm blanket, that we would walk in, live in, and constantly feel and sense the peace of God, that we'd press into the presence of God where there is joy forevermore. Lord, bless and touch your people today in Jesus' strong name.
Father, we love you, Lord. You are with us, God. Father, we can do all things through you because you're our strength. Lord, you've called us in this time, Lord God, and you will strengthen us and you will help us. Bless your people this morning. Bless us with your strength. Bless us. I bless our people, Lord, with your presence this morning. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you
all
very, very much.